This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Welcome into Morning Invest on this 22nd day of February. It's the second month of the year in the year 2022. It's Tuesday. It's the only time this is ever going to happen, by the way, 2-2-22. So just buckle your seats. And we are in for a crazy day, a crazy news day. Overnight, reports of President of Russia, Vladimir Putin, invading Ukraine? Not so fast. We'll get into the details of this. It's much more nuanced than the Western media would have you believe.
And the emergency power put into place by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has been extended for 30 days and beyond. We're going to talk about which of those power grabs are permanent and which are not, and what that means for the average citizen.
And Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, he was acquitted in that trial where he shot a number of people in Wisconsin. Well, he is now on a media tour and lining up names. Is your name on his list for who he plans to sue? We'll tell you about his media accountability project. All of that and more as Morning Invest starts right now. Top of the morning to you.
Did that music wake you up? All right. Well, remember, we have a newsletter you can subscribe for free at morninginvest.com. Please sign up. Send it to your friends. You get little snippets of what we're about to talk about in the show, plus much, much, much more. For instance, we cover the environment a lot. Things you might need to know about COVID, things you might need to know about world politics, world leaders, and jokey stuff, too. Sometimes jokey stuff. We look for the jokey stuff.
But today's not jokey because we're going to start this morning with Ukraine and Russia and what is going on overnight as Putin's, quote, peacekeeper tanks have started to roll into the Ukrainian separatist regions of Ukraine. Now, it's important to kind of unpack this because if you're listening to the mainstream media in the United States, the Western media, which would love nothing more than a full-blown war, right? CNN's ratings are absolutely in the toilet. They would absolutely love for there to be a full nonstop war that they can cover and embed their reporters and send them to all parts of Ukraine to cover this story. So what actually happened? Well, here is President Putin yesterday sitting down and signing into law recognition of these two separatist regions of Ukraine. Now, what does that do? This basically upends the apple cart, right? This is from 2017. We had the Minsk Accords, which, of course, is the capital of Belarus. And during those accords, basically Ukraine said, hey, we won't touch these two regions of Ukraine. And Russia, you're not going to touch these two regions of Ukraine. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to annex them or anything. And basically, we're just going to let these two regions alone. And these Russian separatists who live in these regions don't want to be a part of Ukraine. They are pro-Russian. And yet, I don't think that they actually want to be a part of Russia. So this yesterday, with him signing this new accord, basically says, we recognize you as your own independent body, and we are here to support you.
It comes with money, though it comes with military presence, and it also gives Russia the right to have military bases in the region. Now, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal all report that news of this decision and entry of troops into these regions was greeted by cheering in the streets of these breakaway territory. Russian state media showed people waving Russian flags, embracing and hoisting bottles of champagne, because if these regions are poor and disenfranchised, they welcome the influx of investment from the Russian state, right? So it is just in these two breakaway regions. The U.S. says, wait, this crosses a line. Now, the video we just showed you showed Vladimir Putin signing documents with leaders of this region who also agreed to this, right? So he didn't just come in and plant a flag and say, here's some cash, I spread it around, and now I get military bases. The leaders of these regions had to agree to it. So it is by no means by force or an act of aggression, but the West is framing it as such and saying, now we warned you that if you moved closer into Ukraine, now we're going to impose sanctions. What do the sanctions mean? It means that no U.S. dollars can be invested into certain Russian investments. And the European Union is meeting today certain leaders to see if they are going to do the same, which they have hinted heavily that they will do.
And so you mentioned the new military bases, of course. Now, Russia has the right now under this new agreement to basically build military bases in eastern Ukraine as part of these treaties. You know, if they recognize these two breakaway regions, the Donetsk People's Republic and the Luhansk People's Republic, as independent states, which would defy Western warnings, of course, and also as a violation of international law, right? That's what these Minsk agreement was in place, that they're not going to do any meddling here. So this is meddling. Make no mistake about this. This is meddling.
Well, how many international laws have we broken?
Well, I guess, do two wrongs make a right, young David?
No,
like on the
no,
playground?
Sir. No, sir. But we have 1,000 bases around the world. If Russia's going to have two more in their own, like in their own territory, what is the difference? If those people don't mind it there and he's not doing it by force, what does it matter?
Well, what does it matter is a good question. But is it our business, perhaps, is the better, is another part of this, right? What
well, that's
is it?
Exactly
what,
my sentiment behind it.
And so maybe what matters and how does this matter? And we unpack this a little bit further. What is, I always want to look at, like, what is the end game? You know, like, how does this play out? Like, what is the end of all of this? And at the end of all of this, he doesn't want NATO asserting its power in that region on their doorstep, right? And
yes,
that's exactly what Ukraine wants. So if Ukraine becomes a NATO power, how can they all, you know, which he doesn't want, which is a non-starter for Russia, then what do these, what is his end game in all of this?
Well,
is
okay.
Is it war? Is it a full-blown war? Of course not. I don't believe that to be a second.
But he's saying, I don't want the Ukraine to be a Western ally, but I also don't want it for myself, right? So then how do I bolster this country to continue its independence? I'm going to throw some cash at it, right? So he's trying to stabilize certain areas so that they don't have to fight over it culturally and it can remain as is. That is one way you could look at it.
Yeah, I guess another way to look at it too is if you're these two breakaway regions, is it sustainable if you're these two breakaway regions to just be really
to not take a side,
to be neutral, and to forever basically not be my own country? Like, I'm just kind of in this weird holding pattern for a long time. Like, you know, Ukraine is not going to actually rule me and Russia is not going to rule me, so we're just going to be here until what? The Minsk Accords are in place until what point? So now they're independent, now they're recognized as independent. Do they be, you know, get to build their own, their own constitution and literally become
free? But the West has been trying to prevent Russia in certain areas for almost 100 years now. This was something that was a big deal during World War II. In fact, a lot of the creation of NATO was to prevent Russia from moving further west, I guess you could say, and south. One of NATO's main founding goals was to prevent Russia from taking over territory in Africa. Why? Not just because we're sort of arm wrestling for territory, but because of the economic system that Russia exports, right? Russia is more communist. And the West wants to pretend that we're like, you know, this free economic system. We're not at all, but we think that our system is better economically than theirs. I think right now in this sort of apocalyptic time, we're going to see that neither system is better. No hyper-global system is better, in my opinion. All we're doing is succeeding in destroying the Earth with our current level of economy. Like, one system can create millionaires out of someone who exports plastics. You know what I mean? It's like, right. What are we fighting for?
Look at our last two presidents. We should not be talking to anyone about anything. I mean, we have had some abysmal presidents. You know, Donald Trump was our president. So we shouldn't be talking and trying to control any other government.
I don't think that really matters, though, because we're I mean, look at Boris Johnson, right? It's not about the kind of leadership we export.
I suppose, because the things that they get away with here and the things that, you know, like the president of the United States is supposedly the most powerful leader in the world. And so we had a narcissist, you know, for the most powerful person in the world. That put the whole world on edge.
Yes, I agree with you. But if you think about, you know, sort of the United States reputation abroad is that the United States can produce, you know, more self-made millionaires, which is true. Mm-hmm. The United States offers people more opportunity. In a lot of ways, that's true. If you look at lists of innovators, a lot of them are Americans because they don't have the bureaucracy of other nation states, communist states or other socialist states or anything like that. So there are certain things that the United States does get right that they say we are giving the rest of the world to build like this, right? Because we think that any kind of communist regime is bad for the people. And so ... right? But it's really, you're comparing apples to oranges. And there's no real like economist who says, oh, there is one perfect economy and we need to fight for it and prevent everyone else from exporting their economy. In my opinion, they're all pretty messed up. And the West continues to pervert our economy more and more and more to the fact that we don't really feel market forces at all. So what are we fighting for?
Well, and what is true, you know, and what is the West saying about this? So here's, if you read the different headlines this morning, it's really amazing to read the United States version of all of this, right? And here is The Sun, which is a UK paper. Act of war. Putin's tanks and 10,000 troops invade Ukraine breakaway areas in most dangerous moment since Cuban Missile Crisis. Okay. Let's unpack that a little bit. As Nas in our chat says, it's not an invasion. It's a conflict. Two regions, predominantly Russian, were liberated from aggression. That's what Nas in our chat says.
They agreed to it. You're absolutely right. So they signed the paperwork. You don't just like, he didn't just fly money over the region.
Well, and to say that this is the most dangerous moment since the Cuban Missile Crisis is a canard. I mean, think about it, right? It was a violation of the Monroe Doctrine, which placed missiles in Cuba aimed at the United States, which was a clear violation of what we deemed as our own Monroe Doctrine, right? Did the Soviet Union have to adhere to our Monroe Doctrine, which is that you cannot basically come into our side of the hemisphere and place weapons that are aimed at the United States? So how is this the Cuban Missile Crisis? You know, I mean, I think maybe Europe and maybe the media would love for this to be a Cuban Missile Crisis because
maybe
it means viewership.
Maybe we're just confused because they're like, wait a minute, like a country just did something with paperwork and it was agreed upon and they didn't have to kill anybody or bomb people like that. You can do that.
Right. And we told them not to do it.
It might absolutely get worse, right? There may be this so-called false flag that we've been hearing about, right? They now are in this region. They've got tanks. You can see the videos here of these tanks going into these breakaway separatist regions.
Real video. We've said that before. Like, how many times have we gotten fake video? You know, like there's a person hiding behind a rock,
right.
And these
could be real. These could be fake. They get into this region, and then they could quote unquote be provoked by a Ukrainian aggression, which would then force Russia's hand to say, "Oh, now Ukraine just attacked our peacekeeping forces in these breakaway regions. We are going to attack." You know, and that's the false flag that the United States has been saying could happen. Of course, they said it in different terms. They didn't mention anything about going into these separatist regions, but. We should mention Germany this morning too. Germany just announced that they are done with the pipeline, the Nord 2 pipeline. They are halting the pipeline production. We could see now $120 per barrel oil, which could lead to over $7 per gallon gasoline. I mean, this is going to be a big problem for people.
You know, it's funny. This morning we were watching Bloomberg, and there was the former prime minister of Finland was on and saying that, well, you know, now this embarrasses Joe Biden and he can't be seen as backing down. So this is really an important part for him to not lose face. And Clayton started screaming. He never does this at the TV. And he was like, this is what's at stake? No, lies. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to hear from anyone else unless you stand to lose a blood relative in a conflict. You know, I don't want to see politicians playing with paper dolls anymore. I feel like you shouldn't have anything to say unless you have something real to lose other than your currency devaluation.
Wasteland Wanderer says, not really. Putin is going back on their agreement. We should give Ukrainians, we should give the Ukrainians short-range nuclear weapons. Yes, let's do that. Let's start sending nuclear weapons to this region. Let's just start like cranking up as many weapons as we possibly can and just send it into this region. Hopefully the millions of people will die. That's the answer. Let's do that.
I mean, at this point, it really is like a power of white male egos at fight right now, at war, trying to export their own hegemonic governments that are not good for any people. Like, it's really hard to empathize with Vladimir Putin, and it's even harder to empathize with Western leaders when neither of them are doing their people any good, in my opinion.
Yeah, they just need to keep doing what we say, not what we do. Come on, world.
So, yeah. I mean, this is where we're at right now. So what is the end game here? You know, where do we go from here? Is Putin just using this as a lever? I believe he's using this as a lever against NATO. To say now we have done this peacefully. We are in this separatist region. We are supporting these two areas, which are pro-Russia. They were in the streets last night, waving Russian flags. They were excited about it. They're monetarily being crushed right now. This is an opportunity for them to get money, resources. Great. So these people are happy with this. They want this in these regions. We've heard from viewers this morning in those regions that say that's exactly what we want. Okay. So Ukraine doesn't have these regions. He violates this agreement. Now, is he going to have a full-blown World War III against Europe and Ukraine? Probably not. And as Russian experts will point out, this is Vladimir Putin just flexing his muscles once again in order to have concessions from NATO. What would be the end game here? NATO to say, we are not going to bring Ukraine into the fold.
Which they've said many times they don't actually intend to.
Well, maybe. And now he has the lever to say, I will remove our peacekeeping troops from these regions if NATO consigns that they will not officially join Ukraine into the NATO alliance. And he has this lever now. He has this leverage.
Yeah.
So we need to watch all these reports just with a critical eye before you jump to any major conclusions, which I see.
And the thing is, we're too short-sighted. We never have an end game. I mean, look at Afghanistan. We never had an end game. Our end game should have been go in, do what we need to do, and get out. But that's never it. So it's like we're not going to know the end game because I don't think they know.
Well, because there's this constant fear that if we don't have presence in any region, Russia will move in.
Right.
And then what, right? And then Russia will create more communist nations, have more control.
And they're not a communist country.
Right.
Well, right.
So, like, yeah, okay.
But this is the talking point, right? Again, I was just finishing up a book about Salazar, the dictator of Portugal, talking about how NATO really messed with him about Portuguese territories in Africa and said, we're not actually going to support you in keeping these colonies abroad, but we'll support you as long as it means that Russia can't get in. We don't love it. We don't think you should be there. We're against colonization, which is hilarious. But it can't be Russia. So since you're in NATO, we'll back you, even though we don't want to, right? So this has been going on for decades, guys. Decades.
Well, Robert Hoyt in our chat with a $20 super chat. Thank you, Robert. Robert says, aside from NATO, something we should pay close attention to that would be truly a trigger for World War III is if Germany and France move forward with their European Union army plan and then move in on Russia's border outside of NATO, so separate from NATO.
I don't know what this is, the EU army plan, do you?
I don't know the full details of it, no.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay, Robert Hoyt, link me to a book and I will read it. Okay, we're going to move on, and I'd like to tell you about our show sponsor over at IP Vanish. Do you feel like you are being watched when you do things on the internet or off the internet, say around your connected devices or your cell phone? Guess what you are? If you rewind the tape just 1 week and go over the story we talked about with congressional leaders now calling out
the CIA
for gathering data on citizens that it was not supposed to.
By the way, Edward Snowden thinks that the whole reason we are not even hearing about that story anymore at all right now is because of this whole Russia stuff.
Right.
Like a convenient...
Look that way. Yes, we're spying on you, but look over there. Well, maybe advertisers, maybe it's not necessarily governments, although it is, but also advertisers that know too much about you and you're concerned about the privacy of your identity. Well, you can use an incognito mode to solve this problem. That means that you surf the internet without anyone being able to spy on you using a VPN. That's a virtual private network. You can use them on your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick or whatever you stream media on. When you use IP Vanish, all of your data is encrypted. That means private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, search history, even your physical location can be hidden from any ne'er-do-wells who might be looking in on you. Right now, IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for just our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months of protection for free. It's easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. Take your privacy back today. You know that IP Vanish is rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to IPvanish.com/invest, use promo code INVEST, and claim your 70% savings. That's IPvanish.com/invest.
And these governments are snooping on just about everything you do. Just take a look at what Canada has been doing under these Emergencies Act, right? We, of course, brought you that story last week when Justin Trudeau, of course, announced the new Emergencies Act, which would give new power to the government to seize bank accounts, to rid Ottawa of all of you horrible white supremacist truckers out there, right? Clean up the streets of Ottawa and get this economy back and rolling again. Well, now that they've done that, the blockades have finished. They've removed these trucks. They've confiscated them. They're going to sell them and not giving them back to the truckers. All of this is now cleaned up. But the Canadian government and Justin Trudeau have come out and said, you know what? We really like the power that you gave us. We really like this power so much so that we know we said it was going to be very temporary and targeted and geo-targeted. But no, we're going to continue these war powers. We like them so much that, in fact, even though the blockades are lifted, the state of emergency is not over, and we are going to continue to keep these powers in place.
So this was voted on yesterday. He says that any member of parliament that voted in favor of this was voting for freedom for all Canadians, but not the ones who were exercising their right to protest, clearly. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland says that they are now seizing bank accounts of people who they know protested and acted as part of the blockades. They are also working to nullify the insurance on any vehicle that was there. And they are looking into payment accounts, crowdsourcing, and certain person-to-person payment accounts as well. When asked, well, how do you get the government to get out of your accounts and give them back to you? And she says, stop being part of the blockade.
Yeah.
And we'll give you back your accounts. I am interested in how that would work. Like, if you are someone who does have an account frozen and you just drove away, do you automatically get it back? I don't think that, I doubt it would be that simple.
No,
yeah, at the edge
not.
Of the blockade, they're like scanning your, like, can you see your bank card? Okay, you're with this bank. Okay, we're going to make a phone call. Can you please take this person off the list? There you go. Have a nice day, eh?
Yeah, it's all good now. I'm just going to scan your... Okay, you're back. You're good now. You're back to being a citizen again. You know, Mary Oakes points this out on Twitter, says, when asked what powers from the Emergencies Act Trudeau's government is looking to make into permanent powers, Trudeau responds, quote, there needs to be a reflection about misinformation and foreign funding in this country. Okay, so what is misinformation? He blames misinformation, foreign funding, trying to destabilize Canada's democracy, among other things, for his invocation of the Emergencies Act. Invoking the EA had been necessary. It's been the responsible thing to do.
Oh, thanks, Joe Rogan.
Misinformation? Yeah, like, what?
Well, what he means by that is if Canadians think that they are donating to a cause to help truckers fight against a mandatory vaccine, not the vaccine itself, but the mandate, and they have given money, he thinks they don't know what they're doing, that they don't understand that they're giving money instead to swastika supporting hateful white supremacy groups who want to do bad things.
He's basically saying if you don't believe the propaganda, you've been misinformed.
Right. He also says that he wants to protect against foreign funding trying to destabilize Canadian democracy. So anyone from any other country that donated to the cause, he thinks is acting as a destabilization agent inside of Canadian democracy. But, you know, Canadian democracy allows for peaceful protest, just not in this case.
I mean, this is appalling. I mean, we should all be appalled at this. I mean, here's a government, and this is the problem with giving governments too much power, right? Is that you can never unwind it. We warned about this last week. We said this right here on the show, that do we think for a second that they are going to pull these powers back? Do we think for a second, now that they have these powers to seize bank accounts, label them terrorists, do whatever they want about misinformation, that they're going to wind this back? They're not.
No.
They're absolutely not going to do that.
You know, it's just, it's sad that there is not a wider adoption of cryptocurrency, because this would make this unallowable, right? The government would not be able to trace who made what payment. They would not be able to seize cryptocurrency. This is like, well, use case scenario number one.
Somewhat. So let's just unpack that a little bit, because I just did a video on my other channel about what, you know, Edward Snowden released a tweet the other day saying that Bitcoin is politics by other means, which is, of course, a play on the famous Klaus von Clausewitz commentary, which is war is politics by other means, right? So it's a play on that. This idea that now that Bitcoin exists, it's as if it's empowering everyone. It's not. It's in the hands of a number of elites. It's in the hands of a lot of governments.
But not all cryptocurrencies are.
No, but Bitcoin, we're specifically talking about Bitcoin, but the problem is that when Canada invoked these Emergencies Act, they absolutely went and seized exchange wallets.
Yes.
So, yes, you can't file, you can't, you know, if you have it on a ledger, like if I have my cryptocurrency on a hardware cold storage ledger wallet or something offline, like Battlestar Galactica, you know, I like to think of like Battlestar Galactica not being plugged into the internet. That's why it survived. Okay.
That's However, lost on me.
But if you have these, if your money is on these exchanges, which it was for many, many people, the Canadian government was able to seize those exchange wallets through those exchanges. And so these people are screwed. And you mm-hmm. can, you know, you can donate money. That's fine. But you can, it can still be traceable, right? They can follow it to an end point. I think it's empowering, but I think we just need to be careful about like going this a bridge too far. But yeah, you mentioned this Freeland. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, have we seen, because I've not seen anything, how's the mainstream media spinning this, what's going on in Canada? Like, I know Fox News has been on it, like, you know, but I haven't seen any other networks on how they're spinning it.
I haven't seen any mainstream media coverage of Trudeau extending war powers. Like, I haven't seen, like, you know, any coverage of it. It's like they're ignoring it.
No, what little we've seen internationally has been fairly positive, actually, about, and, you know, truckers want to stand up for their rights to not be vaccinated, period. It was not about playing politics or that they were racist at all. It just, you know, quotes from super reasonable people in the media, at least in overseas coverage.
So let's play the sound from Ms. Freeland about exactly how what you need to do to be make sure you're compliant with the Canadian government.
In terms of the financial instruments which our government is using right now to act against these illegal blockades and illegal occupation, we reviewed very, very carefully the tools at the disposal of the federal government. And we used all the tools that we had prior to the invocation of the Emergencies Act, and we determined that we needed some additional tools. Now, some of those tools, we will be putting forward measures to put those tools permanently in place.
Oh.
The authorities of FinTrack, okay. I believe, do need to be expanded to cover crowdsourcing platforms.
Okay, so just want to make sure we're clear on that. So these crowdfunding platforms that support causes that we don't like here in your government, we need to expand that to make sure that, you know, that money is not going to nefarious causes like things that are tied to free speech or speech that we don't like. I mean, this is unbelievable.
I love that she used the word authoritarian there almost.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And she continues to call them illegal blockades, right? So what then is a legal protest? I think that Canadians should absolutely ask, like, what are the rules to protest legally then that you will actually hear us? Like, give us the new paradigm.
And as a journalist, too. I mean, journalists were told as they went in this region yesterday, watching some journalists saying, hey, I was just told by the police that it's illegal for me to be standing here taking photos in this, like, I have to leave, otherwise I will be arrested. Like, I'm in a city taking photos of news, and you're telling me that that's illegal. So he had to leave and go into a Sheraton where he could take photos through the Sheraton windows of the police. But if he was on the street, it was illegal, and he would be arrested under these new emergency act.
Did you watch Arrested Development?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when they had that little free speech cage? out in the middle of nowhere, they're like, here, you go ahead, practice your free speech. You
go stand in the cage. Well, they have those on college campuses. I mean, it's funny. You know, it's funny that we're talking about it in terms of Arrested Development, but you had like free speech zones on college campuses, right? Where you could go and stand and you could say whatever you wanted, but if it was confined to this, like, you know, specific jump to conclusions, Matt. Like, if you stood in this one section, you could.
And what they're doing with that is they're wanting your protests to not disrupt anything, but that is the complete opposite of what a protest is supposed to do. It is supposed to be disruptive because it's supposed to be a way to, hey, you are not listening. I'm going to disrupt you so that you do hear me. But if they force them into free speech zones or whatever, that's just like, just put them over there in the corner so we can't hear them, so we can get on with business as usual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not part of, you know.
Well, we're going to move on to talk about what exactly they are. They're standing up against these protesters so that they don't have to have a real conversation about vaccine mandates. New data today shows that the CDC has withheld certain information on vaccines, vaccinated people, deaths, and boosters, so as not to be misused or misinterpreted by anti-vaxxers. So this means that
you're too stupid to handle the data. That's
so what's interesting, right, is that instead of having the conversation that the Canadian government comes out and says, here are the scientific studies that show that vaccines make us safer and are safer for everybody, and that's why we are making this law, right, and that we see it on par with gun legislation. They could say that if they had the data to back it up, right? But instead, the data seems like something that politicians do not want to discuss.
Yeah, and so the New York Times had a bombshell story about this, basically calling on the fact that more than a year, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has collected, I'll just read verbatim exactly what the New York Times says, data on hospitalizations for COVID-19 in the United States. It's broken it down by age, race, vaccination status, but it has not made most of this information public. When the CDC published the first significant data on the effectiveness of boosters in adults younger than 65 2 weeks ago, it left out a huge chunk of the demographic. For some reason,
it left out 19 to ages 19 to 40.
18
to 49. That's even more.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What I read said 19 to 40.
Yeah. 18 to 49 year olds.
Wow.
Just that huge chunk of data. Don't you think that would be important?
So anyone from the age of 50 to 65, we have some data that we have seen, right? But anyone who's in basically the prime of their adult years, we have not seen it yet. When asked why, the CDC says, well, it's not ready for prime time, which is an interesting...
I love that.
Right.
And like, remember, that demographic fits perfectly into the narrative of myocarditis.
It does, but it also, you know, shows here that when you look at the death rate of people who actually were dying from COVID, it did seem to show that people who were vaccinated were dying in higher numbers than people who weren't. So let me find this information right here.
But really quick, is that of or with, again, like we've...
Well, 13 out of 104 people who died of COVID in Scotland... for the week of February 4th were unvaccinated. So that means that the remaining, what's 13, 104 minus 13, so around 91 were vaccinated people dying of COVID, right? So this shows more vaccinated people dying of COVID than unvaccinated. In other words, 9 out of 10 of the people who die in Scotland are vaccinated, and the vast majority are boosted, and the death rate remains stubbornly high, even though Omicron is milder. So, okay, they don't want us to interpret that as vaccinated people die at a higher rate of COVID than non-vaccinated people, but it's really hard to know then how they want us to interpret that.
Well, what
right?
the hell are they saying that we're not ready? It's not ready for friggin' prime time.
That
yet.
They like, need the to hell? Massage yeah, the numbers.
That, because exactly. they got to maximize here's, their profits.
Here's your data. You're too stupid to you're too stupid to do anything with it. So we're gonna massage it ourselves and like my kid's playing with a ball of slime for a few hours. Like we're gonna massage it for a while and make it up and move pieces around so you can't actually understand what's being said here. And then we'll give it to you because you're too stupid
you
to have this data.
You can't make inferences about this data. The data says something. We don't like any potential inferences about this, so we will not give it to you yet, because, and especially the booster data from, you know, levels from 18 to 49 year olds, we don't have it from the CDC. We only have it from Israel.
Well, and the thing is, like, so they got to give the CEOs and stuff time to sell all their shares, to get out of the country, to like make their bed so that they can be prepared for the information to come out. Then they might release it. But it's all going to be redacted. There's going to be vast of people missing. Swaths.
Meanwhile, the world still is operating on the assumption that if you've had that booster, you are free to travel. You're free to do certain things. I have had my COVID vaccine, but not a booster. But since I had COVID and didn't test positive in the lab, I don't have a recovery certificate. So in order to go places now, I need a booster vaccination, which I do not want because I had COVID so recently. But now I can't get on planes. I can't get into arenas because it's considered that my COVID vaccine, which was completed last July, is basically nothing. And I'm just so pissed about it because...
Well, I mean, I love what they say in this
conditions.
I love what they say in this piece too, is that like about you break this down, the Glasgow Times, which you talked about, that COVID data will not be published over its concerns that it's misrepresented by anti-vaxxers, right?
And so why don't pro-vaxxers take a stab at that?
And misrepresenting in this context means quoting from it exactly.
Like, right.
So we're gonna misrepresent you by literally citing your data verbatim. Like, that's the concern. Rates of deaths remain lower in people who were not vaccinated than those who received two doses, as they have for months, according to these reports. And this was in part of the Scottish official charts that were just released. Don't we have a right to know that? Well, and, you know, I was going back and forth with an emailer with one of our viewers last night, was saying, because I had the J&J shot. And she said, Clayton, I'm surprised you didn't know this, but like Johnson & Johnson stopped producing the vaccine weeks ago.
Hmm.
Oh, interesting. And now we have these problems with, towards Pfizer's vaccine, information about Moderna's vaccine and problems about that. You have shareholders that are worried about dumping their stock because
of what's
happening.
Well, and have you even heard of Johnson & Johnson vaccines in the past 6 months?
No, that's why I brought it up yesterday. And I heard from a couple of my viewers were saying, hey, yeah, they stopped making it. I'm like, oh, good, good. Glad I got that shot.
You asked for it. You weren't even supposed to get that one. They weren't issuing them, like, and you went in and said, I'm not coming back here. Just give me the
just
one.
Just give me one. I don't want to get multiple shots.
And you know what's crazy?
That's your fault.
What's crazy to me is, like, Dr. Peter McAuliffe and Dr. Robert Malone were both saying this from the very beginning and saying that, you know, this is, they were just trying to inform you of this data, that the main thing is people should have all the data when they make that choice. When you get your shot, you should be told, hey, this is the number of people that are dying. Like, this is the number. This is a potential hazard. This is a potential side effect. But they don't. They hid all of this information. And I think that's their biggest fear and why these, you know, CEOs are freaking out about their numbers and saying, well, we missed our profit margins this month. And it's good. The profit margins are going to way down now that people are finding out this real information.
Well,
but
don't you
this
find it
tracks, right, with the CDC story we did just about 2 weeks ago that showed that people who were exposed to COVID naturally actually did better with their immune levels than people who were exposed to COVID and vaccinated, right? That natural exposure to COVID provided a higher level of protection. This, again, continues to track that the vaccine is not the miracle that the media and the pharmaceuticals would have us believe.
Well, I mean, and look at the data that's being withheld. Okay, so according to these reports on, like, for instance, in Canada, right, last month, the highlighted data from the Canadian province of Alberta showed a huge increase in COVID infections and deaths in people after their first COVID vaccination dose, right? This was on their website. Then guess what happened? It was removed and deleted. This is the data that shows the number of days between first immunization date and COVID-19 diagnosis, right? This was deleted off their website. Don't we have a right to know this? No, right. We'll just delete it. Here it is again. Number of days between the first immunization date and COVID-19 diagnosis. Look at that. So you get the vaccine and boom.
You get COVID.
You get COVID.
That's exactly what happened.
We're
going to
delete that. So what do we do with this data? We're going to hide it from you. Like this is the kind of...
This is the thing that that is what these guys, like Dr. Malone was saying at the beginning. He's like, okay, so if you believe the lab theory, right? The lab theory is that they added a spike protein to a virus in nature. So you have a virus with a synthetic spike. So what they had to do in order to combat that is create a vaccine with a synthetic spike, which is something your body is not naturally made to break down. So they knew there were going to be these issues from the very beginning, but like nobody listened. And like you're saying, they're deleting this data. It's like if they're deleting things, if they're not releasing information, that right there is enough to tell us something. They knew all along that something wasn't right.
Yeah, they knew from the beginning that something wasn't right. But, you know, we're too stupid to handle it. So let us know in the chat your thoughts about this. Well, I mean,
got a $5 super chat. Somebody saying, please, Nat, don't get the booster. And I don't intend to because I had COVID in September.
I had it too.
And so for all of the restrictions that I come up against now that shows that my vaccine certificate is no longer valid and it needs a booster, I just head out and get a test. Like I'm willing to test as often as they want me to so that I don't get that booster. And that's my personal choice.
And meanwhile, hopefully maybe the rest of the world leans towards what's happening in the UK right now, which the UK, Boris Johnson overnight announced that they were ending all COVID restrictions on Thursday of this week.
Even if you have COVID now, he's saying if you have tested positive for COVID, we ask you to just show the same consideration as you would if you had the flu and stay home. And maybe that is a silver lining to come of this because a lot of times people have the flu and just go out and spread it around. And maybe now we will all act a bit more considerate of that.
Yeah, let's hope. All right, we've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about this Kyle Rittenhouse story. It's pretty crazy. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, real quick, I want to tell you about our friends over at Shopify. You know, Shopify is the commerce platform that the world is built on. Millions of the world's most successful brands trust Shopify to sell, ship, and process payments anywhere. I love the sound of you. What's cool about the Shopify app, you can set it so that when you get a payment or when someone makes a purchase, it goes cha-ching, cha-ching. So you get that little sound and you know what that means. It means that's a sound of another sale on Shopify. It's the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big businesses. You can be set up in minutes with your own front-end store. You can tweak it and customize it all you want, but you can be up and running and start accepting payments almost in like a few minutes. It's really that easy. It's amazing to make your ideas real and open to endless possibilities. That's the beauty of becoming an entrepreneur. Really great. Shopify powers over millions of entrepreneurs just like me, from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their very first sale on Shopify. Get started today by building and customizing your online store with no coding, no designing, no nothing. Access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, manage your day-to-day operations, gain knowledge and confidence with extensive resources to help you succeed. Plus, with 24/7 support, you're never alone. So more than a store, Shopify grows with you. Here's what you need to do. Go to Shopify.com/morninginvest. That's all lowercase. You have to do it in all lowercase, okay? Shopify.com/morninginvest, all lowercase, to get a free 14-day trial, totally free. And you get full access to all of their entire suite of features as well. Want to build a logo? You can do that. All of the stuff for free. Try it for 14 days. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to Shopify.com/morninginvest right now. That's Shopify.com/morninginvest. Our thanks to them for supporting the show.
Well, right. Kyle Rittenhouse is trending because the vigilante teen who was acquitted of murder last year has launched what he's calling the Media Accountability Project. What it is a fund that raises money for people who were defamed by the media to sue said media. He was on Tucker Carlson last night and he explained it. He said what he and he says his my people and I he's barely 18, but he has people, you guys. He and his people have cooked up this idea. Do you want to play the clip?
I do.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Me and my team have decided to launch the Media Accountability Project as a tool to help fundraise and hold the media accountable for the lies they said and deal with them in court.
Interesting. So the idea is maybe like the Covington Catholic kids, you will be suing news organizations that maliciously lie about people who are in the news? Is that the plan?
Yes, sir. We're going to be holding them accountable, Tucker.
Do you, I guess I have to ask a kind of a dumb question, but you know, why isn't there a group like this that exists already, since the media so often are not observers, they're players, they're participants in the news? Why hasn't someone done this before?
That's a good question, Tucker, and I'm not sure, to be honest, but I don't want to see anybody else have to deal with what I went through, so I want to hold them accountable for what they did to me, because I don't want to see anybody have to go through what I went through.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to imprison you for the rest of your life. It wasn't coverage, it was advocacy. You have a lot of potential targets to sue yourself. Will you be suing any of these news organizations, and if so, when?
Well, right now we're looking at quite a few politicians, celebrities, athletes. Whoopi Goldberg's on the list. She called me a murderer after I was acquitted by a jury of my peers. She went on to still say that. And there's others. Don't forget about Sank from the Young Turks. He called me a murderer before verdict and continues to call me a murderer.
Interesting.
So, Tucker's like, you know, just real quick, am I on that list?
I mean, I'm in the media here. You know, when Tucker asked him the question, you know, why hasn't this been done before? Like, I know Tucker very well. I know why he's asking that question. Because he already knows the answer to that, which is we live in America. And so good luck trying to go to court over things that are related to free speech. It'll be thrown out the same way that Sarah Palin's lawsuit was just thrown out against the New York Times. Because the bar is incredibly high, especially for a public figure, right? Incredibly high.
Cher Marie says, what a little creep. I mean, he does have this kind of like superiority complex when he's talking that makes it really, I kind of want to spank him. But I understand what he's saying is that the media framed his case as if he was this vigilante hater of black people who went out to kill black people. And they framed his case in a way that wasn't necessarily true, right? But at the same time, people were murdered, right? He fired his gun. People were shot. And so truth is an absolute defense in defamation cases. So Whoopi Goldberg can say that people were murdered. She absolutely can. I can say it too. I'm not saying what his intention was, whether you're for this or not. The media and everyone else has a right to say. And so I would like to see him sue Whoopi Goldberg, because her motion to dismiss would just say truth is an absolute defense. And she did not have the intention to slander him. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. I'm not saying that. But this is America where free speech is premium.
I am on the side of Edward Snowden on this one. I agree with Edward Snowden on this one.
You agree with Edward Snowden on pretty much everyone.
I really do.
I do too.
There's very little that I disagree with Edward Snowden on, and he disagrees with Kyle Rittenhouse on this, and he thinks it's damning, actually. Here's what he has to say about this, and so does Glenn Greenwald, actually. Edward Snowden says, a free press can be good or bad, but without freedom, the press will never be anything but bad. As someone called worse things by bigger names, lawsuits against newspapers over hurt feelings and even false claims are not the answer. Won't fix people, but will harm rights. So what he's saying is, and I think it's very important, is that it's not going to fix the reporters like that you might not like because they called you a nasty name. What it's going to do is it's going to maybe create new precedents within the courts that will actually make the media like a further extension of this horrible government, which controls everything as it is and already. And so we have a free press. By putting in court movements in this way, you're basically limiting freedoms. You're taking even more freedoms away. And the press will even be worse than maybe they already are.
It is really hard to win defamation cases for a reason. And so you can start your own little fund and start suing people if you'd like, but you're not actually changing the laws. So if he wants to change the laws, he should do what our friend Gretchen Carlson did and go write new bills, present them to Congress. If he thinks that you should not be able to say these things, that whoever that musician was it that said, called me a murderer and continues to do that. Well, then you can write new laws if you'd like and see if the people support that. But to just keep litigating as punishment is not necessarily going to change society. What were you going to say, David?
I was just going to say, you know, like, I think the little difference in this case is the fact that now, you know, this kid's life is pretty much, unless he goes into some kind of, you know, media position or something, his life as a citizen is pretty much ruined. He's not going to be able to get a job anywhere. He's not going to be able to have the life that he could have had had he not been labeled a murderer by so many people. Because now, even in this chat, you have people defending.
To get involved in stuff, it's really hard. He picked up a gun and took on something he shouldn't have. And so I don't have sympathy for him not being able to otherwise lead a normal life. Look at Monica Lewinsky. She was able to make lemonade out of lemons.
Let's look at the motivation by this fund. Let's try to keep it on track here with this motivation on this fund, right? So this order to raise money, to me, it's the same way that President Trump wants to raise money, right? To overturn the election, to hold the election truthers out there accountable, which is just his way of basically paying off all these lawsuits and raising money for his own way of living down at Mar-a-Lago.
And who else would care about Kyle Rittenhouse? He is now a celebrity, right? So, like, you can feel sorry for him, but you can also see the inverse of that. He's now a national public figure. He'll always be able to fundraise. He will always be able to get a speaking job. He will always get entry into a lot of different places. So I'm not going to join you in any empathy for this guy.
Yeah, I do because he's a kid. I mean, I have the empathy because he's a kid. And the thing is, like, the people leave out the fact that the reason he went there with the gun was because, you know, people were smashing business. And there was an old guy that was trying to put out a fire. This is like a 70-year-old man or something, trying to put out a fire that his businesses had somebody lit on fire. And then when he was doing that, they came up and hit him in the head with a rock and crushed his face. The BLM protesters. And so that's why they got together and went in there, was to protect the businesses because the cops weren't. So wrestler. I understand
But he's now stepped into public figure. He didn't
have
to.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And he's chosen this, right? And so now
thrust into the public figure. He didn't.
He's staying there. He's making the choice. Well,
he doesn't have a choice.
There.
I don't think he has a choice but stay there.
He doesn't have to sit in and make a fund. He doesn't have to
go on
Tucker Carlson.
Well, what's he
going to
do then? He can't go get a job.
He can fundraise. He can. There's a lot of things he can do.
But he can only fundraise if he's in the public eye.
No.
I don't think that's true.
Here, back up. He could literally write a book and it'd be a national bestseller in a minute. The minute he publishes that thing, self-publish or otherwise, he could publish that on Kindle and self-publish. He could publish it on not even on Amazon if he didn't want to, on other press platforms if he wanted to. He could do that. He could literally start a YouTube channel, right, where he would literally have millions of views on a regular basis.
Right, but
with
is
his
this
team.
Predicated on him being a celebrity? Not necessarily. There are other things. He could have somebody else raise awareness on. There's a lot of things he can do. I think we need to agree that he's comfortable being the public figure at this point.
Yes, he goes on the stage at CPAC. He goes. It's his choice to go on stage and be, you know, and everyone applauding him at these conservative events. That's fine. But what's at the heart of this, though, is the media question. Like, where do you come down on whether he should have taken a gun out that night? I'm on the side of he should not have done that, right? He should have stayed home. He admits that he did it wrong and he should not have done that, right? We're going to have that, Tanda. Sorry, I glanced at something about Fox News. We're going to talk about that and what's trending coming up. But he, again, just suing the media. So, again, we have in the United States, we go back. I mean, we go back to the 1800s. We go back to James Callender leaving Scotland, right? He leaves Scotland because he writes about the crown and he was labeled a seditionist. He comes to the United States and he starts using his, quote, poison pen to write about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. And was he sleeping with slaves? And did he have children? He was writing about Alexander Hamilton. right? He was a pamphleteer. He had all of these things in the press. He had all of these articles being written in the newspapers, and he was sort of ostracized. He was picking on George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. He didn't go to prison. He came to the United States out of Scotland because he could write about people, and we have a freedom of the press in the United States. And love it or hate it, you know, you start taking away those freedoms and you start to look a lot like China.
Well, defamation was how our legal system was founded in the United States. And so that is why we have a court system, is because it used to be that every business transaction you did was face to face, and people would not do business with you if they thought you were a scoundrel. And so people went to the courts if someone defamed you and said, I no longer can create a livelihood for myself and my family because this person defamed me, right? Kyle Rittenhouse now can make more money than, let's be honest, than this kid was ever going to make, partly due to the defamation. The defamation is not costing him anything. It is giving him something. So who is like-minded, like Kyle Rittenhouse, who is being harmed by freedom of press?
Isn't it the press's responsibility, though, to, because what happens with our media is they hype things up, they make things that they're not. They should have never been out there calling him a murderer until the trial was over. They should have been covering it objectively and coming from it from a different angle.
Absolutely, right, but that's not illegal.
Should that be illegal? No, that should be up to us as consumers to say, I don't like that.
And then
you sue them
under the law, whether it's slander, you know, defamation, however you frame it, but based on whether or not the person's a public figure or otherwise. And they, you know, it's a very high bar, and it gets thrown out of court all the time. Again, just look at the Sarah Palin thing. She brought that suit against the New York Times. They published this scathing story about her.
And
right?
I think she had a case.
She had a case, maybe. And then they did a retraction on the story, and the judge just dismissed it while the jury was debating it. Like, the judge was like, it doesn't even meet the bar of
difference? What's the difference, though, if, like, you have somebody that's accused of being a serial killer, right? Then they go on trial and it turns out they weren't, and they sue the city and they sue everybody, and they get these big sums of money because you just ruined a person's life. And I feel like the media, regardless of what we feel, they have a responsibility to make sure that we're informed of the real information. That's what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to be giving their take on it.
No, I think that we are, again, I
just go back to James Callender in 1800s, or go back to being a pamphleteer in the early 1800s or late 1700s in the United States. We have a long history of people foisting their opinions on people. Like, that's the United States, love it or hate it. I mean, I guess come down to it, it's sort of like the Larry Flint movie, People versus Larry Flint, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't. That's the thing in the United States. We're here to protect speech you might not like, right? Because
at the
end of the day, that's why.
I 100% agree with that. I just feel like the media has a responsibility, because a lot of the reasons we're in the situations we're in with January 6th and all these things is because the media hypes the crap out of it and gets people turning on each other, because you have one channel saying it's these people, one channel saying it's these people, and it just pits us against each other when they're not covering any facts. It's 100% opinion based. And I feel like we should choose
our channels then accordingly. You don't have to watch Whoopi Goldberg if you don't like the way she's covering it. But I do think that we have to stand for her right to say those things.
Right. But then as a society, then we're not getting news anywhere. If we're going to these news channels, you know, and we're getting all this hyperbole, like we don't have news anymore. They should cover things objectively.
Where the word allegedly comes in. And that's why so many people use that as a get out of jail free card. And it's up to us as news consumers to realize that, okay, that's their scapegoat. They think that they can just use allegedly and say whatever they want. It's dangerous, sure, but I think it's more dangerous to censor them. Okay, we're going to move on to what's trending. So that we can wrap up this show.
But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo. You want to get $7,000 in free stock? You can, just by signing up for free, get a free account, and you can get up to $7,000 in free stock. Right now might be the perfect time to jump in, as these markets are like tanking right now, right? Wouldn't it be great that you could like jump in and get some free stock and then reinvest it? You could sell that stock and then reinvest it in companies that are, you know, you know, are going to be heading back up soon once we get past this craziness with Ukraine and oil prices. You know, I mean, look at Tesla, right? Look at Apple, which is probably going to have an event at the beginning of March. Look at gold stocks right now. I mean, think about gold right now. Everyone's fleeing into gold for a reason, right? Because people are just worried about what's going on in the world economy. Well, you can trade very easily anytime, anywhere using Moomoo. Just go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo. That's M-O-O-M-O-O. It's a great trading platform. Plus, you get thousands in free stock up to once you make your deposits in your account and get started. Plus, they have all sorts of different giveaways that they're always doing, which is really great. Giving away free AMC stock as well and a whole bunch of other things. So check them out. Go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo to get some free stock right now. All right, it's time to find out what is trending on the internet today.
All right, scallions are trending because of this tweet, that one, bottom left. Someone says, what do we call these? And people on the internet have a disagreement. Correct answers include scallions, green onions, because they do bulb, or spring onions, but these are not chives. You guys, chives are much thinner and you eat sort of just the leafy part. These, you can eat the onions, the bulbs, all of the above.
What?
So, I'm glad here, this is what makes me happy with humanity though. Like the world is like on fire. Everyone's worried about like Ukraine and still the internet is concerned. What do you call these?
I call them scallions. I don't call them green onions or spring onions.
I would have called them green onions.
You do?
Yeah, I think we call them scallions here too.
Oh, I love them. That's one of the things in life that makes me so happy.
Steven says, what about leeks?
No, they're not leeks.
What's the difference between this and a leek?
Leeks are much, they are still in the onion family, but they're much, much thicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are different leeks.
And leeks take, by the way, I grew my first leek last year, and they take forever to grow. They take like 9 months, but that's not it. Bob Beckel is trending because the former Fox News host died on Monday at the age of 73. Did you work with Bob Beckel?
I worked with Bob. Yeah, I worked with Bob when I worked at Fox News. He was a fun guy, always very jovial, and he's one of those guys that would like give his right arm to help you out. Like he was a really nice guy. So sad to hear that. I know he had a lot of health problems and stuff. And I guess he left Fox a few years ago.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Street Fighter VI is trending because the game got a new logo and fans don't like it. This is the new trailer that was announced. Look at that. This is not the Street Fighter you used to play in the 7-Eleven, guys. This is like high
Finish
graphics.
Him.
There is still no release
that's
date.
That's Mortal Kombat, Clayton, please.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, that's right. Man, I forgot.
The fans are saying that this new logo.
What logo? Where?
This logo.
Thing? Oh, okay.
People do not like this. They think this looks like clip art. And they said that's not awesome. So that's why this is trending.
Oh, yeah, that does not look good.
Come on, don't we have other things to worry about?
Yeah, exactly, like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what they needed to do? Do you guys know the eBay story?
EBay?
Where eBay launched their new logo and people freaked out. And they're like, oh, okay. So then they changed it over time for like a year and then nobody noticed.
That's well, hilarious. People notice this. They have strong opinions about Street Fighter and they're like, come on, that's not awesome. We expected something awesome. The graphics look quite nice though, but again, still no release date. And finally, Luxembourgish is trending after Associated Press reporter Philip Crowther posted a video of himself covering the Ukrainian conflict in six languages. Listen to this. I'm hating on this guy big time.
The Donbass region for 8 years now. But despite that, the capital city of Kiev is relatively calm. Natürlich ist es schon ein gewisses Sinn und der Krieg gewinnt, den natürlich schon am Gang ist, am Osten, an der Donbass-Region, Töchter Ukraine, an der russischen Separatisten, dos reuniones que va a mantener el presidente francés hoy en Moscú con el presidente ruso Vladimir Putin y mañana aquí en Kiev con el presidente ucraniano Volodymyr Zelensky. Moscovo brandió un anuncio de retirada de terça-feira como prova de que los temores de guerra fueron fabricados por un occidente hostil liderado por los Estados Unidos. A ce stade, la guerre semble probable, c'est aussi simple que cela, mais il y a encore cette petite lueur d'espoir que la diplomatie puisse arrêter une invasion russe de l'Ukraine. Das ist genau das, was sie erwartet hatten. Desinformation, gefälschte Angriffe und ein Vorwand für Russland in die Ukraine einzumarschieren. Aber alles ist sehr schwer natürlich vor Ort zu überprüfen.
All right,
he sounds native to every one of them.
I know. Allow me to use a Californianism. I'm hella pissed because I'm so jealous of this guy. Let's, if you're counting here, the languages: English, Luxembourgish, which I mean, you're just showing off now. Right. Spanish, Portuguese, French, and German, without skipping a stinking beat.
Wow. I am a little proud of myself because I've been studying Portuguese for the past 3 years, like, and I studied German in high school.
And
like,
you knew which one?
And I understood the English one.
Oh,
Natalie,
boy.
Natalie, do you speak Italian too?
No, I don't.
No? Okay. No. None? Like absolutely none? Or
No, tiny bit. Well, like I needed to go to a government office and I taught myself how to conjugate verbs in Italian, but not
because I would assume your grandparents probably spoke it. That's all,
yeah,
right?
I speak three languages, but I can't switch like that. It takes me a full day to like reimmerse myself in a new language. I would never be able to do that.
Can you imagine as a news reporter where you're like, okay, which network is this? Oh, this is the German one? Okay, stand by. Ich habe eins, in like you have to like switch into that language, and then oh, we're in the Portuguese one now. Okay, you know, bon dia. You know,
that guy just made us all look like chumps.
And where's he from?
I'm not sure.
He's probably not from any of those. He's probably from like Japan, so he can speak Japan too, Japanese as well.
All right, you guys, I have a follow-up appointment for my daughter's pneumonia, and I have to go. Thank you so much for joining us. Clayton doesn't like when I do that.
Yeah.
But
well, thank you. Yeah, we don't need to. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the show today. We really appreciate it. Please subscribe to the channel if you're new here. If you're not new here, then thank you for being a longtime subscriber. But we try to cover the news and give you some perspective that you might not see in the mainstream media. We try to cover all angles and, you know, no hard feelings. No hard feelings. If you got your feelings hurt, we don't try to do that here on the show.
Not at all.
We always try to cover all the bases. All right. Bye, everyone. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Bye then.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.